sliver of life you've managed to carve out for yourself is constantly under a microscope. I wanted the freedom to live. I might not have seen that through in all the ways I wanted to yet, and might have let fear keep me from reaching for certain dreams, but at least it was my choice, not that of some case agent looking over my shoulder 24/7. And I could take the baby steps I wanted to whenever I was ready. Like today, telling Link, hell, that was way more than a baby step. It was a monumental leap, one I'd taken because of all he made me feel. His shoulders released some of the tension as he pulled me back into his arms.
I'm so fucking sorry. I can't even imagine.
I shuddered against him, my fingers twisting in the fabric of his soft tee once again. I needed that tether right now. Something to hold me to the here and now so I didn't slip back into those awful memories.
Who knows?
Link asked. The Coulsons, a handful of people at the Bureau, and the Marshals. He let out a long breath.
We need to call Trace.
It was my turn to pull back. I don't know.
Arden.
He cut me off.
This is serious. If someone knows who you really are.
My life could be in danger. My stomach twisted. Call him. Even though I knew this was how I'd lose my freedom all over again.
15. Lincoln. In the 15 minutes it took Trace to get to Cope's house, I watched as all the fight bled out of Arden. Instead of being fiery and full of life, she looked defeated. I fucking hated it. The front door flew open and Trace's boots hit the hardwood, eating up the space. What the hell happened? I moved on instinct, stepping between him and Arden, holding out a hand in a gesture for him to calm down. Take a breath, I growled. Brutus moved to my side and let out a warning growl of his own. Trace's dark green eyes flashed in surprise, but that shock was enough to break through the worry, fear, and anger so he could get a hold of himself. He looked around me, his gaze running over his sister as if checking for injury. You're okay? Arden nodded and said, I'm fine, but she sounded resigned. Ruhig, Brutus, komm. The dog quieted and trotted back to her, leaning against her leg. This is what happened, I said, handing him the flyer I'd put into a Ziploc bag, using cleaning gloves so I didn't get prints on it. Trace's brows lifted. You a secret ex-profiler too? He asked, referencing Rhodes's boyfriend, who had a past with the FBI. I wanted to grin, but I couldn't quite get there. The extent of my knowledge comes from the handful of Criminal Minds episodes my little sister has forced me to watch. That had Trace grinning, but the smile died the moment his gaze hit the flyer. The fury and fear were back, and his attention cut to Arden. You call? His focus flicked to me for a moment before returning to his sister. Your contact? Link knows, Trace. I told him. His eyes went comically wide. You told him everything? Everything, Arden said, exhaustion in the single word. Trace studied me as if seeing me in an entirely different light. All right. Did you call the Marshals? She shook her head. I'm not their problem anymore. You know that. A muscle in Trace's jaw fluttered. That doesn't mean they wouldn't want to know about this. So they can what? Arden challenged. Offer me a chance to start over again? To lie to everyone in my life all over? No, thank you. I'm not doing that. Trace's fingers tapped his leg as if he were struggling not to fist them. I'll call my contact at the Bureau and see if they know anything. Arden simply shrugged and bent to scratch Brutus between the ears. Trace watched his sister for a moment before turning to me. Walk me through it. I glanced at Arden before speaking, hating everything about her demeanor and wanting to do something to change it, but I was powerless. I went by the collective to check out the art, see if there were pieces I wanted to purchase for my new build. When you went in, were flyers already on the vehicles? Good question. I mentally traced my path from my parking spot to the art gallery, trying to remember. Yes, there were. Denver, Hannah, Farah, and Isaiah distributed them a little before noon, Arden said, her voice completely flat. Trace's jaw tightened. I need to know which one of them left the flyer on your vehicle. Arden's back teeth ground together. They went out as a group. I highly doubt any of them could have written that note without someone else seeing. Not to mention the fact that if one of them wanted me dead, they've had ample time and opportunities to off me. Trace's hand fisted then, fury grabbing hold. This isn't something to joke about. I'm not joking, it's a simple fact. Little lines formed between her brows as she mulled that over. A note like this doesn't even make sense. If someone knows about my past and wants to harm me, why warn me? Now I'll be on guard. If they really wanted me gone, they'd have simply done it. Her words had a sick feeling churning in my gut. What was it like to forever wonder if you were in someone's crosshairs as you simply tried to live your life? But Arden also had a point. This doesn't feel like the threat of a professional killer. Trace sighed. No, it doesn't. But until we know what it is, we need to take precautions. That had Arden sitting up straighter. I won't be kept under lock and key, not again. Trace made a placating gesture. I'm not saying you can't live your life, but I think you should come stay with Keely and me. Arden's eyes flashed, the violet engulfing the gray, and damn, it was good to see a little of her fire back. I'm not staying with you. Why not? Trace pressed. It's away from my workspace, my horses, my home, and if a psycho killer really is after me, do you honestly think I'd put Keely in that kind of danger? She's never going through what I did, never. Pain slid over Trace's expression. I'm sorry, Arden. It's fine. I'm sorry I bit your head off. Trace's shoulders relaxed a fraction. You could stay at the ranch for a while. You know Mom and Lolly would love to have you. Arden pushed to her feet. Don't you dare tell either of them about this, or anyone else. You know it'll make them sick with worry, and for what? She ran a hand through her hair, tugging on the dark strands. The more I think about the words, it was probably some prank. Kids getting their rocks off with some I-know-what-you-did-last-summer sort of jazz. That was certainly possible. Kids pulled knuckleheaded moves like that all the time, but it didn't put me at ease. I wouldn't be able to relax until whoever had put Arden in the crosshairs all those years ago was rotting in a cell where they belonged. Trace scrubbed a hand over his stubbled jaw, suddenly looking exhausted. Fine. But I'm not about to leave you alone out here. I'll see if Leah can take Keely for a while, and I'll stay. No, Arden said instantly. I'm not stealing your time with Keels. You don't get enough as it is. I'll be fine. The pain lacing Trace's expression told me custody of his daughter was a sore spot. Arden, I'll stay with you. The words were out before I could consider the wisdom of them. There were a million reasons why I shouldn't spend any more time with Arden than necessary, but I couldn't stay away. Not before I knew what kind of danger she'd faced, and sure as hell not now. Hell, I'd build her a goddamn army if I had to. Whatever it took to keep her safe.
16. Arden. I was pretty sure my brain was short-circuiting, or maybe I was having some sort of stroke. You're going to what?
I'm going to stay with you,
Link said, as easily as if he'd stated he was going to get a glass of water. There's only one bedroom. The words tumbled out of my mouth on instinct, anything that would keep some distance between me and the walking temptation that was Lincoln. He simply pinned me with that swirling hazel stare.
Then stay here.
I shook my head. I can only sleep in my room. That was a stretch. Sleep never came easily to me, even in the bedroom that had been mine for years. But at least I felt safe and secure there. It wasn't like I thought someone would take me out if I stayed elsewhere. But I felt at ease in my space because it was mine. There was comfort in the routine of what I knew. A look of understanding settled into Link's features. One I didn't want to look too closely at.
Then I'll sleep on your couch. You do have one of those, don't you?
Yes, I have a couch, I snapped. I opened my mouth to tell him it was lumpy and uncomfortable and certainly not suited for a billionaire likely used to the best beds money could buy, but Trace cut me off.
Are you two done? I need to go get this note processed.
I snapped my mouth closed, but annoyance still swirled, and guilt came fast on its heels. Because they were both being overbearing. Because they cared. But it still felt like control of my life was being wrested out of my hands. I'll walk you out. I stalked toward Trace and Link, but kept right on walking, assuming Trace would follow. Stepping outside, I breathed deeply, letting the fresh pine scent in the air slide through me. It was different than the evergreens back in Boston. Even now, I could still grab hold of those hints of memory. Playing in my backyard surrounded by tall trees, the crisp air as the leaves began to fall. The air there had been sharper somehow. But maybe that was my imagination, simply because life had been sharper, harsher.
Arden?
Trace's hand gently landed on my shoulder, and I fought the urge to move away. The impulse had tears burning the backs of my eyes. Why was it always my instinct to retreat from those who cared about me when I was hurting? As if I needed to crawl back into my shell to protect myself from the possible pain. Trace's hand dropped away as if he could read those thoughts as clear as day. But he was the sibling best at that, reading below whatever surface we painted with any sort of lie.
We're going to figure this out.
My hand dropped to my side, fingers twisting around a loose thread on my jean shorts. I know.
I'm here if you need to talk. Always.
Pain burrowed deep in my chest. Trace was too good. Every single member of the Coulson crew was. And I couldn't help feeling that I didn't deserve any of them. Thank you, I whispered. He pulled me into a quick hug and dropped a kiss to the top of my head.
Do me a favor and don't kick Link to the curb. You do and I'll be sleeping outside your house in my truck.
I sighed, knowing Trace wasn't kidding. You know I can handle myself. You've seen it.
I know you can, but I also like knowing someone has your back. And Kai said the guy can handle himself.
An image of Link in the ring filled my mind. The way he moved with a brutal grace, how every move was both strategic and wild. Tightly corded muscle bunching and flexing, revealing just how much power lay beneath the surface. And then there was that surprising ink, the kind that told me he was anything but what I'd expected.
Is that silence agreement?
Trace pushed. I blinked a few times, trying to clear the images from my mind, but I knew it would do me no good. Those memories were burned into me. I'll let him stay. Tension seeped from Trace's shoulders, which only sent more guilt sliding through me.
Thank you,
he said.
I'll call you as soon as I hear anything.
Okay. I watched as Trace climbed into his SUV and drove away. I stayed there for one moment, then two, the pressure in my chest intensifying. It was as if I were being crushed under an endless mountain of bricks, making it hard to breathe. I was so lost in the sensation and trying to work through it that I didn't hear a Link until he was right at my back.
Tell me what you need.
His voice was low, not gentle, but not forceful either, and it bled kindness, understanding. That simple act had the burn behind my eye returning. I need to paint.
Then paint. I'll walk you.
My gaze flicked up to him. I don't need—
Just because you don't need it doesn't mean I won't give it to you anyway. Not taking any chances. Not with you.
I swallowed, trying to clear the emotion clogging my throat. I reached for something, anything, to lighten the mood and stop the foreign feeling from trying to invade. Don't think you're getting food or sex just because you're staying with me. Link's lips twitched, and those green-gold eyes danced with amusement.
I'll keep that in mind, Vicious.
Then he walked me to my studio and checked every nook and cranny before allowing me inside. And I let him. The music blared from the speakers, wrapping around me, pulsing through me. It was hard, screaming metal tonight. A sad, raw rage coursing through my stereo system, and it fit my mood. I took a step back from the painting. Almost done. But it needed something else. One last piece of the puzzle. That happened sometimes. I could think a creation was finished, but then I would realize something wasn't quite right, that it needed one last element to bring everything into focus. I studied the canvas and the way the thorny brambles clawed at the fabric, looking like they could reach out and ensnare you. But those deep red blooms gave it something else. Hope. The realization that a flower could bloom despite its circumstances. It was the message I needed to tell myself, the thing I needed so desperately to believe, so I'd put it down on canvas. But what was it missing? I studied it for another beat. It needed the realness, the authenticity, the part of me I was afraid to show anyone. My gaze flicked to my palette, and I studied the paint options. None of them were right. Snatching up some ultramarine blue, I dabbed it onto my palette, mixing it with the perylene red. A deep purple erupted as the result. I picked up a brush and didn't allow myself to hesitate. I went straight for the center of the canvas, the middle of that tunnel of brambles. There, I painted a heart. Not cutesy, but realistic. One with all four chambers. Switching out my brushes, I went back for the perylene red and gave the heart a dripping look, bleeding. Because there was a cost for blooming in the darkness, and you had to be willing to pay for it. I took a step back and tilted my head. Studying the painting made me uncomfortable, like my skin no longer fit my body. Uncomfortable was good. It meant a new level of work. Brutus let out two sharp barks. I reached for my phone, ignored the countless notifications, and switched off the music. A knock sounded at the door.
"It's me,"
Link called. A shiver of something skated over my skin. Anticipation. Excitement. The combination was foreign, nothing I'd ever experienced before. I crossed to the door in a handful of strides. "What's the password?" A soft chuckle sounded through the wood.
"Cheeseburger."
My lips twisted into an amused grin as I opened the door. "Cheeseburger." Link held up a bag with a familiar teal and red logo with a retro vibe that read, "The Pop."
"It's almost 10, and I'm pretty sure you haven't eaten since breakfast."
"I had an energy bar," I argued, but my stomach growled as if to call me a liar.
"So, should I take this cheeseburger with caramelized onions, cheese fries, and a strawberry shake back to the house with me then?"
Link challenged. My jaw went slack. "How did you know my order?"
"I asked Cope before I called them."
My spine stiffened. "Please tell me you didn't share what happened today." Link's brows pulled together.
"I didn't, but you should."
I ushered him inside, shaking my head. "You don't know my family. If they think something is going on, they'll all move in. I'll never have a second alone."
"And that would be a bad thing?"
Link asked, making his way to the leather couch on the far wall and setting the bag and drink holder on the beat-up, paint-splattered coffee table. I picked up the brushes I'd been using and carried them to the sink. "It's not that I don't like having them around. I do. I need my alone time." Link studied me as I cleaned my brushes.
"You're not much for groups, are you?"
One corner of my mouth kicked up. "What gave that away?" He chuckled.
"I get that. But you do have to consider how they'll feel when they find out what happened and learn you didn't tell them."
I winced as I lay the brushes flat to dry. "Maybe they'll never know. I've thought about it a lot, and this note doesn't read like a professional killer. They wouldn't want a trail."
"You might be right there, but someone wanted to scare you, at the very least."
Sliding my hands under the water, I washed them thoroughly. "We don't know that it was specific to me. Could have been a very unfunny prank, and they didn't care who got the note." Link watched me as I crossed the space to the couch, his gaze like a heat-seeking missile.
"Possible. I hope like hell that's the case, but we take care in the meantime."
"We." I didn't miss that one tiny word. I'd never been a we. Not even before my father's greed ripped my life apart. I'd always simply been me. Something about being a part of something larger was nice, even if just for a handful of moments. I didn't feel quite so alone. "I'll be careful," I muttered, reaching for the white bag. Brutus was already sitting politely, a little drool gathering at the side of his mouth, at the prospect of a French fry or a bite of burger. Link snatched the bag just before I could get it.
"Promise me."
My jaw went the slightest bit slack. "Are you holding the Pop's delicious caramelized onion cheeseburger over my head?" His brow arched as a mischievous grin spread across his face.
"I'm not above using food to get what I want."
"Of course you're not," I mumbled. But Link showed no signs of handing over the goods. "Fine, fine, I promise I'll be careful. I won't even turn my phone on silent." Link lowered the bag and handed it to me.
"That's better."
I fished my burger out of the bag. "You played dirty."
"No, I played to win."
Goosebumps rose on my skin at the promise of his words, but I shoved the awareness down, reaching for something, anything else. "I'm surprised you left poor little defenseless me alone to go pick up dinner."
"I didn't."
My gaze lifted to Link's face. "They don't deliver way out here." That mischievous grin was back, the one I was growing addicted to.
"They do if you offer to pay the driver $100.
A laugh bubbled out of me as I rolled my eyes. Money doesn't solve everything, but I guess it does when it comes to cheeseburgers. The smile I was coming to adore slipped from Link's face.
"Doesn't solve everything. Not even close."
17. Lincoln. Something about how she said money doesn't solve everything hit. But right along with that came another blow I wasn't expecting. Doubt. I wondered if I tossed cash around with too much callous disregard, just like my father. Arden lowered her burger and set it on the coffee table. "I was just joking. I didn't mean..." I waved her off. "It's fine." Her expression hardened, and that stubborn fire blazed to life. "It's not..." I opened my mouth to speak, to let loose some sort of brush off, but Arden cut me off. "Don't lie to me." Those gray violet eyes were pleading now. "You don't have to talk about whatever put those shadows in your eyes, but don't lie. Not when I told you about the hardest moments of my life." A curse slipped free. She was right. I'd be a bastard of the highest order if I fabricated some elaborate alternate reality for why her words had tripped my trigger. But laying that shit bare, that wasn't in my nature. When you laid it all out there, it meant people could use it against you, just like my father had. My gaze moved to the painting in the center of the room. It grabbed hold, like Arden's art always did. But this one was different somehow, even more honest, more raw. I stared at the bleeding heart. The brambles could be protecting it or imprisoning it. Or maybe they were simply an allegory for the harshness of the outside world. But then there were the flowers, blooming despite it all. "It's beautiful," I whispered. Arden's gaze followed mine, and she stared for a long moment. "I think I like it." I glanced back at her. "You don't always like your work?" She shook her head, some dark brown strands falling free of her bun, more than a few splatters of paint decorating them. "No. But this one, it makes me nervous." "And that's good?" I wanted to know more, wanted to know everything. How her beautiful mind worked in all the ways, but especially when she created. And wasn't that fucking unfair? Here I was, keeping all my secrets locked away while demanding hers.
"Nervous, uncomfortable. It means I'm feeling. Art should always make you feel."
Arden stared at the piece.
"Sometimes when I'm lucky, the pieces align, and I find real truth."
My heart hammered against my ribs. "And what is this one's truth?"
"Sometimes you need to bleed to bloom."
Her voice wasn't a whisper, but it held a quiet strength, coated in a rasp that resembled the brambles and the painting. Those words painted themselves over the ones from earlier, coating them so thickly it drowned out the ones from before, and they made me reckless. My dad killed my mom. My truth. My blood on the canvas. With that sort of shocking statement, I expected a jolt, maybe a gasp, but not from Arden. She simply watched me and took in my truth. And then she waited. She didn't give me any of the countless platitudes I'd heard before. I'm so sorry for your loss. She's with the angels now. She'll always watch over you. It was nothing as simple as that for Arden. She let the silence do the talking. And in that quiet was acceptance. One that invited me to keep going, to share a little more of my bloody truth. He didn't put a bullet in her brain or a knife in her heart, but he killed her just the same. Arden gave me words then, and with them, more acceptance and understanding. There are countless ways to kill someone. My fingers tightened, curling around my kneecaps and digging into the denim there. There are, and my father is an expert at not leaving any evidence behind. Arden simply met my gaze and waited, pools of understanding in her irises. He has a pathological need for power and control. To know that he can exert his will over everyone around him. Images of his face flashed in my mind, that stone-cold calculation. He built the perfect trap for her, promising her forever and a beautiful life. Then he locked her in a tower while he cheated on her daily, belittled her, and made her feel like she was worth nothing, that she was nothing more than expensive window dressing. My mom's tower had been that Upper West Side penthouse, the one that overlooked the park and held the promise of forever, but forever had become a prison. My hands gripped my knees so tightly my fingers started to go numb. He choked the life out of her little by little, snuffed out her light. She tried to fight it. There were times when she fought, took my sister Ellie and me out of school and surprised us with a trip to Coney Island. Let us stay up late, eating all the junk our dad never let us have, while binging Goonies, E.T., and Hook. Read us stories, and made all the voices. My words caught, tying in a knot at that last memory. I could still see her, clear as day, reading Where the Wild Things Are, and making me laugh until my sides ached. She tried to leave. I croaked. He found out the moment she talked to a lawyer. Dropped a file of so-called evidence in her lap showing what an unfit mother she was. There was a fire in Arden's eyes now, the violet flaring to life.
He was threatening to take you away from her.
Ellie doesn't remember much, doesn't remember how she simply faded. She was breathing, but no longer living. She didn't play as much or create the voices when she read. She slid into a bottle and never came out. I didn't see Arden move. Didn't know she had until slender fingers wrapped around mine. But those fingers weren't delicate. They were far stronger than they appeared, like the woman herself. She slid them under my death grip, forcing me to hold on to her instead. In that moment, I could feel everything about her. The strength of steel, the gentle kindness, the flecks of paint on her skin, marking her with the price she paid to create art that reached people. That reached me. I stared down at our joined fingers. Another type of art. She drove off a bridge upstate when Ellie was 6 and I was 17. Her blood alcohol level was twice the legal limit. Dad played it off to everyone as a horrible accident and painted himself the grieving widower. But there were no skid marks at the scene. Arden's fingers tightened around mine, holding on to me as tightly as I held on to her.
Loss and theft.
My gaze lifted from our hands to her face, questions in my eyes.
It's a tangled web, she rasped. The grief of losing her. The anger that part of you feels like she didn't fight hard enough for you and Ellie. The fury at your father for his cruelty, his killing.
A tangled web, I echoed. Just like your painting. Her mouth curved the barest amount. Those berry pink lips just starting to part.
True.
I'm not good at sharing this sort of stuff.
Seems like you're doing a pretty good job to me.
I let out a breath, finally exhaling fully and releasing some of the oxygen that had been held hostage in the deepest recesses of my lungs. "Sometimes you need to bleed to bloom," I said, repeating her words.
"Sometimes,"
she agreed.
"I find it's what you do with the pain that matters the most. What do you turn it into? Something that brings light or something that brings the darkness?"
"You bring the light." A genuine smile spread across Arden's face.
"Not everyone would say that. Not when you look at my art."
I shook my head. "Then they don't see it. Don't see you. Facing that darkness is exactly what brings the light."
"That's what I like to think. And you can't have one without the other."
"No, you couldn't."
"I know that tangle, Link."
My nickname on Arden's tongue was a sensuous stroke.
"I know what it's like to miss someone and despise them in the same breath. I'm not sure I'll ever be able to forgive my father for what he cost us all. Not sure I'll be able to forgive my mother for possibly being complicit. But that doesn't stop me from loving them both."
Each word was like a blow to the chest, because I felt that same battle when it came to my mom. I forced myself to release Arden's hand, even though it was the last thing I wanted to do. Shifting, I pulled out my phone, tapped in my code, and opened the photo album to the very last image. "She's both. The darkness and the light," I rasped, turning the phone around so Arden could see the screen. I'd memorized the photo. If I'd had any sort of artistic skill, I could have etched it on paper without even looking at the original image. I was 12 in the photo, and Ellie was only 1. I held one of her hands while my mom held the other as we walked over the grass in Central Park. Ellie beamed up at us with a gummy smile, and my mom was so alive. Her hair was the same mix of light blonde and brown as Ellie's, but her eyes were a gray that none of us shared.
"She was beautiful,"
Arden whispered. I didn't reply. Simply swiped my finger across the screen to the next photo. It was a formal portrait from 5 years later, just a month before she died. There was no life in it. Not even in 6-year-old Ellie perched stiffly next to my mother, a woman whose eyes had gone completely dead.
"So much pain."
Arden's voice was barely audible.
"And rage,"
she said as her gaze moved to my father with his perfectly styled dark brown hair so much like mine, and those dark hazel eyes. "I look like him, and I hate it," I muttered. Arden's gaze flew to me.
"The hell you do."
Her hand lifted, fingertips grazing the skin beneath my eyes.
"There's light here, life. There's nothing in his. You couldn't look more different."
Something shifted inside me, a recalibration I had no control over.
"Thank you,"
I whispered. Her hand dropped away.
"Thank you for giving me that."
We stared at each other for a long moment, and then I forced my gaze away. "Not sure you'll be thanking me when your burger's cold," she chuckled.
"I've eaten much worse than a lukewarm cheeseburger."
I popped the top off my vanilla shake and dipped a French fry into it. "At least this won't be ruined." Arden looked on in horror as I popped the fry into my mouth.
"You did not just do that. French fries dunked in a milkshake?"
I barked out a laugh. "You sound like I'm putting liver and onions over ice cream or something."
"You might as well be,"
Arden accused. "Have you ever tried it?" I challenged.
"I don't need to try it to know it's gross."
I plucked up another fry and dipped it in my shake. I held my hand under the concoction as I extended it to her. Arden shook her head, making a face. I just grinned. Chicken. That had the fire lighting again. Arden opened her mouth, and I slid the fry inside. Her lips closed around it, and I watched, transfixed as she chewed. Slowly, her brows lifted, and her expression shifted into delighted surprise. "Good." I didn't know what it said that everything hung on her enjoyment of my favorite eccentricity. A smile stretched across her face as she shook her head.
"Damn you, cowboy. Now I'm a weirdo who likes dunking my French fries in milkshakes."
"I think you'll survive." I leaned forward, my thumb swiping across her bottom lip where a speck of milkshake remained. Arden's lips parted as she took a sharp breath. Our eyes locked, and need swirled in hers, making the violet deepen to nearly black. My thumb stilled, resting on that perfect swell of her mouth, relishing the delicate silkiness beneath my calloused fingertip. Arden leaned in, and my hand slid along her jaw, fingers tangling in her upset hair. God, I needed to taste her, to know if it would grab hold the same way her art did, showing no mercy. Closer. So close, our breaths mingled. Brutus let out a demanding bark. Arden startled, jerking back and out of the haze we'd both been lost in. She let out a laugh, her cheeks heating. He's mad. I've usually given him a fry by now. I sent Brutus a frustrated stare. I'm not sure he deserves one, I mumbled. Damn dog was a cockblock.
18. Arden. A whirring sound chipped away at my skull like an ice pick. I blinked against the mostly darkened room, trying to get my bearings and figure out what the hell the sound was. I stared up at my ceiling, awareness seeping into me. Most people would think it was weird, my thick emerald blackout curtains cutting out any glimmer of sunlight, only to have a nightlight in the corner. But it worked. Swinging my legs over the side of the bed, I sat up and Brutus lifted his head from his dog bed. My eyes burned and I fumbled for the drops on my nightstand. The sensation wasn't new. My typical lack of sleep meant that I bought the drops in bulk. Only last night, my lack of sleep wasn't due to nightmares. I tossed and turned, replaying that almost kiss in my mind. The way Link's thumb felt as it grazed my lip, how the roughened pads of his fingertips skated across my jaw, the way my skin heated as his hand slid into my hair. My nipples pebbled beneath my worn tee, the buds tightening against the soft fabric. Fucking hell. I shoved to standing, annoyance sweeping through me. I needed to get a grip. The whirring, grinding sound intensified as if to call bullshit. Striding across my bedroom, I threw open the door and stalked down the hall, Brutus trailing behind me. But I came up short as I reached the kitchen and living area. The house wasn't large, but I didn't need it to be. Even though it was smaller, the open concept design, along with the massive windows, made the space feel larger. Inviting. And the sage green walls complemented the view, giving the space a peaceful air. But there was nothing peaceful about what greeted me now. Link stood at my island, hand braced on a blender, the sleeves of a blue button-down rolled up, exposing tan, muscular forearms. His hair was darker, almost black now, making me realize it was damp from a shower. My mouth went dry as my gaze dipped, taking in the dark-washed jeans that hugged his hips and worn boots that didn't feel like something a god of money would wear. But that was Link, a series of unexpected surprises, always keeping me on my toes. The blender cut off, and I glared at the man in my kitchen. Glared for so many reasons, but most of all because he was making me feel. "Do you know what time it is?" I growled. As if he'd already known I was there, Link didn't look my way. Instead, he glanced at his watch, an antique gold piece. Not perfect, but full of dings and scratches that told a story, just like my truck did.
"It's almost 8.
"That's practically dawn," I muttered. "Some of us were trying to sleep." I gestured to Brutus, who simply trotted over to Link for pets. Traitor. Link's lips twitched as he scratched behind Brutus's ears.
"And some of us have been up for hours. Did some work, fed your horses, got some supplies from the main house since all you had in your fridge were energy drinks and 82 condiments. Oh, and some leftover Chinese. That was questionable at best."
My scowl only deepened. "You never know what kind of hot sauce you'll need." He chuckled and reached for the blender pitcher.
"Fair enough."
"And you fed my horses?" I asked, a little shocked. Link poured a green concoction into two glasses.
"Cope told me how. And shockingly, I do know how to measure."
I fought the urge to squirm. Something about the familiarity of that, the effort to help, hit a little too close to center mass. "What is that?" I asked, nodding at the goop Link was pouring. Link grabbed one of the glasses and held it out to me.
"Green smoothie. I made you one. It has 4 different kinds of veggies, 6 fruits, vitamins, protein powder."
My nose scrunched as I studied the glass, but I didn't take it. "Thank you, but I think I'll pass. That looks like something I muck out of whiskeys and stardust stalls." Link barked out a laugh.
"Not a morning person, are you?"
"What about me suggested that I enjoy rising before the sun?" That devastating grin stretched across Link's face.
"Grumpy and fucking cute. Even the shirt is cute."
Cute wasn't a descriptor often used for me, and Link using it now did something to my insides. I glanced down, not remembering what tee I had put on. It was black cotton, but with a unicorn over a rainbow. Below it read death metal. My cheeks heated. "It's my favorite."
"Adorable,"
Link muttered, setting my glass on the counter and moving in closer.
"But what I'm really partial to is these shorts."
His fingers skimmed along the hem of my short shorts, grazing my skin with the barest of touches. I sucked in a breath, my whole body tightening at the contact, which was barely anything. It was as if everything intensified when Link touched me. It was more than any other contact. It made me greedy for that more and terrified of it in the same breath. I stared at the man opposite me as he waited. Link should have considered giving professional poker a try because he had the kind of patience that meant taking home the whole pot. I opened my mouth to speak, unsure what might come out. A blow-off or a plea for him to take me right here on the counter? But my doorbell cut off both. Brutus went on alert, instantly coming to my side. It was Link who scowled now.
"Dogs and doorbells,"
he muttered, annoyance lacing his words. That little glimpse of humanity, proof that Link wasn't a god, had a smile tugging at my lips. "I'll get it."
"I'll get it. We don't know who's there."
I let out a long sigh and leaned a hip against the counter. "If you get my phone, I could pull up the camera feed, but I really don't think assassins ring the bell or have the gate code." That only had Link's scowl deepening and those green gold eyes darkening like storm clouds. Note to self, don't mention assassins.
"Better to be safe,"
he ground out as he started for the front door. I couldn't deny that Link was hot when he was pissed off and protective, but I still felt the walls closing in and the freedom I'd found disappearing from my grasp. Link pressed his face to the door to look through the peephole. When he pulled back, there was still a hint of pissed off in his expression, but it was more annoyance than anger now. He unlocked the door and opened it. I peered around him to find Denver standing there, blinking up at Link in surprise. He had different colored feathers in his hair today to match the stitching on the Western-style shirt he wore. His jeans had that artfully distressed look, and his cowboy boots were the kind that never actually touched manure.
"What are you doing here?"
Denver asked, more than a little hint of demand in his tone. Link's expression hardened.
"Not sure that's any of your business."
Ah, Jesus, someone save me from male pissing contests. I tried to move around Link, but he shifted slightly, as if he didn't want Denver to get a good look at me. I smacked Link's arm. "Enough. I highly doubt Den is hiding a bazooka in his boot." Link's gaze flicked down to me, and I noticed a tightness around his mouth that had a flicker of guilt taking root inside me. He was genuinely worried. I squeezed his arm. "I'm fine. Promise." He lifted his chin in assent, shifting slightly the other way so I could have an actual conversation with Denver. But when I met Den's gaze, it was to find his face twisted in a scowl too. This was what happened when you tried to people before 8 in the morning.
"What the hell is going on, Arden?"
Denver demanded.
"Trace shows up yesterday, wants all of our prints, wants to know if we saw anyone around your truck. I call, you don't answer. I text 2 dozen times, you don't message back."
I winced. I'm sorry the day got away from me. Denver scoffed.
Looks like you were just fine shacking up with moneybags here, but you don't have 2 seconds to get back to your friends. Watch your tone.
Link ground out.
I'm not talking to you,
Denver snapped.
Maybe not, but you'll only be talking to me if you don't watch what you say.
Denver puffed up his chest like a gorilla about to charge.
What, you've been here for like 2.5 seconds and get to dictate who she talks to?
Link moved forward in 2 long strides, forcing Denver back onto the front steps.
It's not about dictating anything. It's the fact that I'm not going to let anyone speak disrespectfully to Arden in my presence, ever. So, try again.
Normally, I found it oppressive when someone stepped in like this. It reminded me too much of my family's overprotectiveness. But something about Link in this moment felt anything but oppressive. For the first time in a long while, I felt like I could breathe. Like I was safe. It was the same as when he wrapped his arms around me. Denver glanced nervously between Link and me. Then he sighed, running a hand through his long hair and getting his fingers stuck in the feathers.
Sorry, A. I was just worried.
I stepped out onto the front patio. I'm sorry, too. I was painting all afternoon and night. Then I crashed. That had interest lighting in Den's eyes.
You finish it.
One corner of my mouth kicked up. All was forgotten if new art had been created. I did. It'll take a couple of weeks to fully dry, but...
It can cure at the collective. We can still hang it for the show.
A pang lit in my sternum. I wasn't sure I was ready to give this one away. Something about it was just a little too personal. Or maybe it was that I still needed the message that lay within the layers of paint. I don't know.
Come on, A. We need as many pieces as possible for the auction.
Link's jaw hardened, a muscle fluttering along the curve, but he stayed silent. Okay, I said. I'll bring it in later. I wouldn't have been able to ship it for weeks, but I could lay it in the bed of my truck and drive it into town. Denver was right. We needed everything we could get for the auction. Denver beamed.
You're the best.
His smile dimmed a fraction.
You going to tell me what happened with your truck?
My fingers found the drawstring of my shorts, and I curled the cord around them. Just a stupid prank, but, you know, Trace doesn't like anyone messing with his little sister. Denver chuckled.
Some poor kid is going to end up pissing himself when Trace corners him. That dude is scary when he wants to be.
It was true. Trace had a gentle, easy, approachable demeanor most of the time. But when someone flipped that justice switch, it was best to stay clear. Hopefully, it'll be a couple of days before he finds them. He'll chill by then. Maybe. Denver nodded and quickly glanced at Link.
All right, I'm heading back into town. Call me if you need help unloading the painting. I'll be in and out of the gallery all day. I set up a bunch of interviews for Sam.
Denver let that last sentence hang, and I knew why. He wanted me to offer up an interview with the reporter, but that wasn't happening. Good luck. I'll text when I bring the painting in. What I didn't say was that I'd also be texting Isaiah or Farah to check if the coast was clear and reporter-free. I wouldn't put Hannah in that position. She was too nervous about hurting anyone's feelings.
Sounds good. See you later.
Denver gave me a salute that was a little ridiculous and studiously ignored Link as he went to climb into his Subaru hatchback. Link watched him the whole way, not taking his eyes off him, and then his vehicle until both had vanished from sight. Then he turned slowly, his gaze dipping to mine.
I don't like him.
19. Lincoln. Anger and annoyance swirled, each one battling for dominance. Denver Wick was a prick. The fact that his last name rhymed with the word was only greater proof that the two were intertwined. He didn't give a damn about Arden. Or rather, he cared a hell of a lot more about what her art could get him than her well-being. And his sheer disrespect of her only had my anger mounting. Arden's berry-colored lips pressed together but fluttered as they did, as if she were desperately trying to hold in a laugh.
You don't like him? What are you, five?
A scowl twisted my face yet again. No, I'm not five, but I am annoyed as all hell by his disrespect. Arden rolled her eyes.
It's just him. He's got a single-minded focus when it comes to the collective, and he's not used to seeing me with, guys.
That piqued my interest. Not the relationship type? God, I hope that wasn't true. I had no interest in one-night stands or shallow flings. I'd gotten that out of my system in college. It wasn't for me. I craved real, true connection. Arden lifted one shoulder and then dropped it, her t-shirt sliding down and revealing tan skin in the absence of a bra strap. Fucking hell.
Told you, she said, her voice dropping. Not really good with the whole people thing.
Bullshit. Those gray-violet eyes flashed.
Excuse me?
You're great with people when you want to be, I challenged. But that doesn't mean connection doesn't make you uncomfortable. Arden pulled the drawstring of her shorts tighter around her finger, the tip turning white from lack of blood flow.
Why do you have to see so much? She asked, her annoyance clear in her tone.
The corners of my mouth tipped up in a half smile as I moved in closer, gently unwrapping the cord from her pointer finger. I spent a lot of my life trying to figure out what makes people tick. Might have learned a thing or two. Arden looked up at me, searching for something.
You tried to work out why your dad was the way he was?
My body stiffened. I tried to catch the reaction, knowing it gave too much away, but I couldn't. Yes, I admitted. I wouldn't lie, not to Arden.
Did you ever figure it out?
She asked softly. I didn't release her fingers, couldn't make myself. No. But he's the master of walls and subterfuge. Arden gave me a sad smile.
Sometimes understanding why helps, but it still doesn't change what they did.
No, it doesn't. I forced myself to release my grip on her. What do you know about Denver? Really know? Arden arched a brow.
Change of subject much?
It's important.
I'll let that one slide, she said, a hint of amusement in her tone. What do you mean, what do I know about Denver?
His history, relationship ties, all of it. Maybe he's the one who left the note, I suggested. There were more than a few things I wasn't crazy about with the dude. Arden's face transformed with a full grin.
He's been my art dealer for almost as long as I've been selling pieces, born and raised a couple of towns over and only a handful of years older than me. I highly doubt he was involved in murder for hire in Boston.
She snapped her mouth closed at the last statement, her skin paling a fraction. The reaction was like a knife to the gut. How hard would that be? To hide every part of your past 24/7. That's where you're from? I asked gently. Arden rolled her lips over her teeth, but nodded quickly.
No one's supposed to know.
A little of the fear left her then, a hint of mirth lighting those captivating eyes.
But I guess you make me break all the rules, cowboy.
Fuck. She slayed me. I wanted to break every rule with her, to smash down any walls between us, to pin her against one right now and take her, to lose myself in her body and brand myself on her bones. I won't tell a soul. Arden looked at me for a long moment.
Maybe you will. Maybe you won't. But I'm tired of hiding. Of guarding every word I say, it's exhausting.
I didn't have her trust, not yet, but I would. I brushed a strand of dark hair out of her face. The color seemed to have a golden edge in the sunlight. I would give anything for you to be free of that. She searched my face as if looking for a lie.
I'm done waiting for it. I'm claiming it for myself. No more fear. It's a choice, and I'm making it.
God, she was brave. So damn strong. Okay.
That's it? No trying to tuck me away from the world?
She challenged. Not going to try to lock you up, Arden. It would suffocate you. But I will ask you to be safe and cautious while you grab that freedom. Arden studied me for a long moment.
Deal.
One corner of my mouth tugged up. That easy acquiescence makes me think I should have pressed for more. Arden laughed, and the sound was light and easy, musical. It grabbed hold the same way her art did.
Did I outmaneuver the business tycoon?
Not surprised at all, Vicious. My fingers slid deeper into her hair, soaking up the feeling of the silky strands as I moved closer. The heat of her body poured into mine, and I wanted more. I wanted to know what it would feel like to have all of her pressed against me, to sink into that scalding heat. My fingers tightened in Arden's hair, and I tipped her head back. And then my phone dinged. Once, twice, a third time. I muttered a curse and pulled it out of my pocket. Ellie.
Where are you?
Ellie.
8 a.m. Jim? Already in a meeting?
Ellie. 3 question marks. I frowned down at the screen and began typing. Me.
I'm at Cope's. Are you okay?
Ellie.
Where at Cope's? Open the gate.
She sent a compass emoji that had me chuckling. I sent her a pin to my location. Maybe she was having something delivered, but they'd have to buzz the gate to get in. Staring down at my phone, I waited, but Ellie didn't respond.
Everything okay?
Arden asked. My sister, I muttered. I'm pretty sure she probably had some bagels airlifted from New York or something, and I didn't answer the buzzer up at the house. Arden grinned.
Sounds like she's trying to take care of you.
Movement in the distance caught my eye. A vehicle. The SUV picked up speed, spitting gravel, but slowed as it approached the guest house. The engine cut off, and then a figure jumped out.
Con-con!
Ellie shouted, a smile stretched across her face. Then she halted, her gaze jumping back and forth between Arden and me.
Oops, did I just ruin my big brother getting some?
20. Arden. The woman standing in my driveway was a picture. She'd obviously just gotten off a plane, but looked like she was about to walk a runway. She wore wide-leg cream pants I would have stained in 2 seconds flat, a thin brown belt with a gold H-clasp holding them in place. A figure-hugging, wide-strapped tank was tucked in, and a blue-and-white striped sweater curled around her shoulders. To complete the outfit, a handful of gold necklaces ringed her neck. And you couldn't miss the massive diamond on her ring finger. But the only thing that didn't fit was the worn navy blue Yankees cap on her head. It had history, not the kind of wear artificially put in place by a designer. This was real wear, the kind that came from donning the cap countless times for hours on end.
Elbel,
Link chastised. What? She asked with mock innocence. I would never want to be accused of being a cockblock. Link barked out a laugh and Ellie flew at him. He caught her in the air, swinging her around as she laughed loud and free. The sound hit me square in the chest, making an ache take root there. Their bond was as clear as day. It was born of a lifetime of history and deep affection. I wish I had that lifetime with my siblings. Sometimes I wondered how different I would be if I'd been born into the Coulson family instead of placed there at age 12. Would I have been more normal? Would I have fewer demons? I bet I would sleep a hell of a lot better. Link set Ellie on her feet, her chunky-heeled boots kicking up dust.
What are you doing here?
She grinned up at him, but I saw a hint of shadows in her pale green eyes. Can't a girl surprise her big brother? She glanced at me, her smile still just as warm and the shadows now hidden. He wouldn't shut up about this place. I had to see it for myself. Welcome. I'm Arden. I glanced down at myself and winced. And I need to get dressed. Ellie giggled. No need to get out of PJs on my account. Besides, I'm kind of obsessed with your t-shirt. Her eyes lit. And your big, beautiful dog. Hello, love of my life. She cooed. Brutus's tail thumped against the patio stone in answer, but he didn't go to her. Freund, Brutus. Freigeben, I said, releasing him. Brutus went straight to Ellie, who crouched low, all but throwing her arms around him. Aren't you just the most handsome love? And so smart, speaking German. Link glanced from his sister to me.
Ellie loves dogs.
Do you have one at home? I asked. She glanced up at me, a hint of sadness playing over her features. Not yet. Maybe when we get a place outside the city. Link's mouth thinned into a hard line. I guessed he wasn't a fan of the fiancé, and I couldn't help but wonder what the story was there. Come on in, I said, heading inside. I'm just going to change real quick. I was already darting from my bedroom, and not just because I was in my pajamas. I was unsettled and needed to get my bearings. Link was throwing my routine existence out of whack, making me realize the palette I'd been painting with was all shades of gray, while he splashed a vibrant rainbow across my canvas. It was beautiful, but unsettling, and I needed a second to regain my equilibrium. Grabbing clothes, I ducked into the bathroom to brush my teeth and change. I quickly donned my favorite deep green cargo pants and a gray tank. It would do for taking care of the horses and hauling my painting to the collective. I pulled on thick socks, even though it was already hot out. I'd need them when I slid my feet into boots. As I straightened, I stared at the door, the hint of voices filtering through it. I took a deep breath. I couldn't hide in here forever. My fingers curled around the knob, and I twisted. The voices got louder as I made my way down the hall. When I stepped into the kitchen, Ellie looked up, a smile still on her face. I miss the death metal unicorn, but I do love those pants. I laughed, surveying the space. I'd offer you food, but I don't really have that around here. Your brother tried to force some sort of health drink on me, but you don't look like someone who favors poison either. Ellie laughed, that same full-of-life sound filling the air as she turned to Link. I like her. His lips twitched.
Glad you approve.
You should be. I have impeccable taste, Ellie said, flicking her light brown hair over her shoulder.
You sometimes have impeccable taste,
Link challenged. Ellie's jaw dropped in mock affront. Excuse me? Who helped design your company logo and gave you feedback on the Sparks mascot reboot? Link's eyes danced in amusement.
But who also used to dip grapes in ketchup and call it the height of cuisine?
I was 5, Ellie exclaimed, throwing her hands wide.
My taste buds will never forget,
Link muttered, but there was clear affection in his eyes. That shifting and rearranging sensation took flight in my ribcage. I could see the image as clear as day, as if it were actually playing out in front of me. A teenage Link dipping grapes in ketchup just to please his little sister. There was something about a boy who would do that. And he'd grown into a man who was the same at his core. Making sure I was fed, staying with me on the off chance someone wanted to stir up trouble. Lincoln Pierce was a good man. The best kind. And it scared the hell out of me. While you two argue the culinary worthiness of grapes and ketchup, I'm going to go let my horses out and head into town. Ellie whirled in my direction, her pale green eyes lighting. You have horses? Her excitement was almost childlike, even though she was probably a year or two older than me. I felt the bizarre urge to look out for her. I have 2. If you stick around, I'll take you for a ride. Ellie let out a little squeal. That would be amazing! I glanced at Link, who was frowning. What? No horses? He shook his head.
I'm not sure you should go into town alone. We can come with you.
I tried not to let his concern wrap around me like a warm hug, but it did anyway, which was exactly why I shouldn't let him go with me. I'll be fine, just a quick trip there and back. Trace already made me turn on that damn Find My Device setting on my phone, so he'll know my whereabouts at all times.